Hey everybody, thanks for listening. I'm Sammy Nisbet and you're listening to Late in Life Lesbian. Today is Sunday, December 3rd, 2017, and the holidays are certainly upon us. I've received a lot of emails over the last few weeks that have been so touching, so thank you very much for reaching out to me, and I am trying to get to all of your emails to respond. I want to share some of the emails that I've received, but I do want to contact those listeners to make sure that it's okay for me to share some of their stories on the podcast. Overwhelmingly, though, what most of the letters have in common is that even though society's changing for the better in terms of LGBT equality, coming out late in life is an entirely different struggle altogether that many people don't understand. First, and I'm paraphrasing a letter from one of my listeners, it's a long process to decondition ourselves from our inner homophobia. And then there's an entirely separate process for those who've always known us as straight to accept us for who we are. And for much of that time, those two processes are at odds with one another. This journey takes time for those of us who came out later in life. I came out at 40. That's 40 years of programming myself and others into believing something completely opposite of who I actually am. Some people have the ability to just turn a new corner and shut off the past. And I applaud them. I wish I was more like that. But for many of us, it's a slow chipping away of our former selves in order to become our authentic selves. I mean, think of it as a relationship, because it really kind of is. It's your relationship with the identity that you probably fought so hard to maintain and to preserve. Now, one popular theory is that it takes half the length of a relationship's duration to get over it. Now, I'd like to hope that it's not going to take me 20 years to become 100% comfortable with my life as it is. But the point is that for most people, you can't just flip a switch, and sometimes progress seems slow, while at other points, it feels as if you're traveling emotionally at warp speed. To paraphrase that same email again, it's like with each new hurdle, you feel as if you're a teenager experiencing things for the first time. Coming out late is a whole series of firsts all over again in unfamiliar territory, only this time we're adults, many of us in our 30s, 40s, and 50s, yet we feel and often behave as if we're children. There's almost an emotional regression that we fully don't understand, nor can we control. And thinking back over the course of the last 11 years, I can honestly say that I felt and behaved like an absolute child. And for a while, I was probably even embarrassed by my behavior. But in its context, and with some reflection, I see that it was a natural progression for me. So if you're experiencing any of these feelings, hang in there, because you are not alone. I also received a few emails from listeners asking to be added to the group. I'm not sure if there's an online support group that you've mistaken for this podcast, or if you're just speaking in general terms, but I've explored the idea of starting up a message board so that people can be more connected with one another, other than waiting for my less than regular podcast episodes. The problem is, in setting up a message board, I want to protect everyone's privacy. I need to make sure that the message board's a safe place to have a dialogue and to find support without any undesirables slipping through the cracks. I also think that something like that should be moderated, and right now I'm not sure that I have the time to devote to something of that nature. But that being said, if you've emailed me inquiring about a specific support group, I don't have one running yet. If you've emailed me and want to share your story in the podcast, please let me know that it's okay to share, and I will definitely include your emails in any upcoming episodes. I've also been contemplating having a call-in show through a website, Blog Talk Radio, where listeners can call in. But again, I do want to make sure that it's a safe forum. I also need to work out the logistics of a live show in terms of a good time when I'm not working and when the cats and the kids aren't interrupting, and when most listeners will be available to listen. So let me know what you think of starting a message board and a live call-in show. I'm not promising anything, but I'd be happy to try. I will leave a form on the website, lateinlifelesbian.org, or you can email me at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. So moving on, I hope you all had a peaceful Thanksgiving. I consider myself pretty lucky that our holidays are generally drama-free because we are surrounded by many like-minded people politically. So while the holidays are generally filled with joy and good cheer, the season can be a difficult time for many of us, whether we're struggling with the absence of a loved one or loved ones who are no longer present, or whether we're battling depression or worrying about how we're going to make ends meet. The holidays can seem to amplify those feelings. I remember the first holiday season after I separated from my ex-husband, and it seemed to be a particularly dark time in my life. I was still struggling and at odds with my own identity. I was experiencing financial stress, and the fact that my wife, my then girlfriend, and I were not together for the holidays. Looking back now at that time period, I recognize the baby steps that my family had taken to help me out, especially in terms of my relationship. My wife and I celebrate our birthdays within a week of each other in November, and I remember my mother coming to me and asking me what night would be good to go out for my birthday. So I gave her a couple of days, and she asked me if my girlfriend would be coming, and that in and of itself shocked me, and I said I wasn't sure of her work schedule, and my mother made it a point to say that she wanted to make sure that my girlfriend was there and that the family celebrated both of our birthdays together. And apparently, unbeknown to me, my brother had suggested that the family celebrate our birthdays together, and we did. And it was a first step in that capacity. But that same year, as the holidays approached, I felt as if we had then taken three steps backwards because my wife slash girlfriend then wasn't going to be with us for Christmas. And I just felt myself slipping and slipping more into this state of despair for a number of reasons. I felt as if I had lost all hope in everything, and I could barely keep it together for my kids who were small at the time. And as Christmas crept closer and closer, I couldn't even muster up the strength, or even afford for that matter, to put up a tree. And I, at the time, didn't even care. Day after day, I would lay on my couch and in between my jobs, and I'd just stare at the television, and I was miserable being away from my wife. I felt guilty for so many reasons, for not being stronger, for not being able to put on a brave face for my kids, and for wanting to redo my whole life and not being able to. I remember one day my mother came into my house and asked me if I was going to get a tree, and I think I mumbled no or something to that effect, that I didn't have enough room for a tree and it didn't really matter anyway, and I just got up and left and went back to work. And when I arrived home that night, I found this tiny little tree next to my doorstep, and I felt like Charlie Brown for a minute with this little tiny tree that my mother left there for me. So I brought the tree inside and I dragged down the decorations and I propped it on a little cardboard box with my old tree skirt on it, and I put it in the corner of the house, and the boys and I decorated it. Then I bought the kids a few small presents right before Christmas, and I distinctly remember not having boxes and wrapping the gifts in cereal boxes. It was weird, but necessity is the mother of all invention. But nevertheless, there was a pile of Christmas presents under the tree on Christmas morning for the kids, and in some small way, I started to feel a little bit better. And even though we weren't together that first Christmas, by New Year's, my parents had their annual New Year's Eve party where friends and neighbors and family come over, and it's a small, intimate affair. And my girlfriend came, and she stayed at my house that night, which was amazing. My brother, who had been in and out of the hospital battling cancer, and he had had several heart attacks, was actually home for New Year's Eve. And we just sat laughing and talking all night long. I just remember that so vividly. He loved my girlfriend so much, and she loved him equally. And at one point before midnight, my brother said that he was tired and he was going to go to bed. So my girlfriend and I wished him a happy new year and kissed him goodnight, and I told him that I loved him, which I rarely did, but I did that night, and it was a good night, and she was with me. The next morning, my brother passed away at home, and in the chaos that happened. My girlfriend, my wife now, was there, and she helped us through it all, and she supported us. She helped with the kids, and she saw us through this unthinkable time in our lives. And as tragic as it was, we were a family, and my wife hasn't left my side since then. I think about those days where I was lying on the couch and wondering if my wife and I would ever be a real family, and here we are. A real family with real problems and real joy. We have our ups and downs, just like any normal, healthy family. And for that, I'm grateful. I guess what I'm trying to say is when you feel as if there's no hope or that things are not progressing the way you want them to, just have faith in yourself. I realized this at one of the darkest points in my life. Or maybe I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. So don't give up. And most importantly, remember that you're not alone. I want to try something new. In my next podcast, I want to talk about how religion and culture have influenced the coming out process. And I'd like to know what your thoughts are. I know that most people listening have all experienced the process of coming out late in life, but I think we all face different challenges based on our religion or our race or our cultural upbringing. My experiences as a fairly non-religious Caucasian woman growing up in the northeastern part of the United States may be very different than someone growing up in another part of the country or in another country altogether, or different from someone from a different race. If you have anything that you'd like to share about how your culture or religion has influenced your coming out process, please email me or fill out the form on the website. Well, that about wraps it up for today. Try to stay sane out there with the hustle and bustle of the holidays. You can visit the website, lateinlifelesbian.org, where you will find an occasional blog, and you can reach out to me through the website, or you can email me at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. Thanks so much. This is Sammy Nisbet, and you've been listening to Late in Life Lesbian.